to Afterword. This is Peter, and today's sermon recap is from 2 Peter 2, 17 to 22. A few weeks ago, the president of Asbury University made an interesting distinction between awakenings and revival. The distinction is not necessarily a biblical one, but the point he is making is a biblical one. He was asked if Asbury had experienced revival, and he said they had clearly experienced an awakening, but time would tell if they had experienced a revival. He was emphasizing that when the Spirit of God revives, lives change, and not just for the moment, not just in the ecstasy of a Spirit-filled service, not just with hands raised and mouths praising. Obviously, God uses those moments, and we thank God for them. But one of the distinctions between real Christianity and fake Christianity, between real teaching and fake teaching, is what happens after those moments. When the emotion fades and the voices of encouragement scatter, when the trials ramp up, and the temptations multiply. What then? Jesus warns us of these moments in his parable of the sower in Mark 4. He describes four kinds of hearers. The defensive hearers hear the word and their hardness prevents the word from taking root. The enemy immediately comes and snatches away the word. The discouraged hearers receive the word with joy and have no roots, so they endure for a while, but when the trials increase, when the heat comes, they fall away. Third is the distracted hearers hear the word, but the thorns of cares and lies and lusts enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The fourth kind of hearer, the dynamic hearer, hears in an ongoing way. Accepts the word, bears fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. Now, of course, this doesn't mean the dynamic hearer never struggles or fails. Doesn't mean the dynamic hearer never feels defensive or discouraged or distracted. But the dynamic hearer is characterized by hearing. The dynamic hearer keeps hearing and responding with humility, keeps turning to Jesus, even when many other disciples turn back and no longer walk with him. Even when Jesus turns to us and asks, do you want to go away as well? And we answer with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. This is one of the marks of genuine followers of Jesus. As Jesus said in John 8:31, if you abide, continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. As we are learning in 2 Peter 2, the false teachers do not continue in the word of Christ. They appear to continue, but in reality, they do not. As we learned on Sunday, they pretend to refresh, but in reality, they are like waterless springs. They offer a cool cup of sand. Secondly, they promise to rescue, to liberate, but in reality, they are slaves of their own passions. They are selling what they do not own. They talk confidently about freedom, especially to the most vulnerable, but their identity is defined by their passions. Third, they profess to reform, but when trials and temptations increase, they turn back to their old ways. They talk a lot about winning the lost, but they don't live any differently from the ones they claim to want to save. Over the past few weeks, I've received several versions of the question, how do we distinguish teaching that is primary from teaching that is secondary? That's a really important question when it comes to determining what is false teaching. Christians have always and will always differ with one another on secondary teachings. Whole chapters of the New Testament, like Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8, are devoted to helping us navigate these differences. So it's a, as a church, our elders are very concerned not to label other Christians who differ with us as false teachers simply because they differ with us on secondary or debatable issues. So how do we know if an issue is primary or secondary or creedal versus debatable? A couple of questions that can help us. First, is it a clear scriptural command? Like, does the Bible clearly state, for example, do not commit adultery, do not commit sexual immorality? Those are clear statements in scripture versus what are your convictions regarding dating or courtship? Those are clearly not primary. Secondly, is it a biblically consistent truth derived by sound principles of interpretation? All the way back in the garden, the enemy tempted Eve with, did God actually say? False teachers are continually coming up with novel interpretations of God's word, implying that God's people have always gotten it wrong, but I will tell you how to get it right. The primary issues stand the test of time and are derived by sound principles of biblical interpretation. Going along with this, third, is this principle generally accepted by believers throughout church history? One of the key strategies of the enemy today is what I call the dust in the air method. With the internet, the avalanche of books and blogs and articles, it's easy to feel overwhelmed by the sheer volume of opinions on everything. So the enemy whispers in our ears, everyone has an opinion about everything. Therefore, no one can know anything for sure. And it's true, Christians differ a lot. But it's also true, Christians have a remarkable amount of unity on what is primary. Read the church's creeds. Consider the unity on the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, the essentials of the gospel, the certainty of Jesus' return, the righteous judgment of God. Yes, there's a lot of dust in the air, but that doesn't mean we can't know anything. Think about marriage. Jesus, who was single, said that from the beginning, he made male and female, the man leaving and cleaving to his wife, two becoming one. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. For 2,000 years, Jesus' church has maintained a remarkable unity on this. And in most of the world, that unity persists. The fact that one culture, Western culture, is now pressuring Christians to turn from 2,000 years of teaching and the clear words of Jesus so that we are not on the wrong side of history, is not a very good reason for Christians to reject our Lord's words. Now, if you want to dive deeper into this, check out our Romans 14 messages. Let's end this afterward meditating on the striking contrast between the false teachers described in 2 Peter 2 and Jesus. They pretend to refresh. Jesus provides living water. They promise to rescue, but live in and lead to bondage. Jesus lived in and leads to true freedom. They profess to reform, but turn back to their sin. Jesus drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and put their trust in the Lord. Psalm 40, 2 and 3. Thanks for joining us for Afterward.